You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition off-season NFC West crossover. We've got all the hosts from all the teams in the NFC West. We're hanging out with Bo Brock from Locked On Cardinals, Corbin Smith of Locked On Seahawks, Brad Motter of Locked On Rams, and yours truly, Brian Peacock of Locked On 49ers, the current reigning division champion, if you guys weren't aware of that. And we will get into, Bo, I got to give you credit. This was Bo's idea of what we're going to do this week. We're going to have nominations for the best defensive player in the division on today's program. So each host will nominate a player from the team they cover that is the best defensive player in the division. On Tuesday's show, we'll do the best offensive player. On Wednesday, we'll do best coach. That could be a position coach, a head coach, whatever. I think that could be wide open. And then on Thursday, maybe the best newcomer or sleeper or breakout type of player. And then on Friday, we'll give you the outcome. We'll put those to a vote and we'll decide on who the winners of those are and maybe make our season predictions now that we have had a full draft and a full free agency and zero OTAs since the last time we talked and had a division crossover. So I'm excited to get into this. And fellas, this isn't just the Locked On 49ers show, and I know I'm the only person that has spoken so far. So my apologies, but I'm leading the show here on Monday. You guys will hear a lot less of me on some other shows later in the week. I want to start this off by a rumor that one of our own here, Corbin Smith of Locked On Seahawks, he and some colleagues broke a story last week. I think it's really important that we get into this because it could really change the outlook of the NFC West in 2020 and going forward. And that was that there are two teams in the NFC West that have legitimate interest and have actually made contact. Is that right, Corbin, with the New York Jets about star safety Jamal Adams?
Yes, the Seahawks and the 49ers both have had preliminary discussions with the Jets about Adams. And this, from what my source told me, is not a case, at least in the Seahawks instance, this is not a case where Seattle is just trying to drive up the cost for the 49ers. The Seahawks legitimately would like to make a trade for Adams. Now, does that mean that something's going to actually happen here? Who knows? The Seahawks are in on everything. San Francisco kind of is modeled themselves the same way as well. We've seen some of the big moves they've already made, trading for Trent Williams, some of the players they've brought in this offseason. And so both these teams, they know that, you know, the windows to win championships are narrow. And so any chance you have to add a marquee talent like Jamal Adams, you got to at least look into it. And so from what I was told, both these teams, it's not just checking in. They are seriously interested. Now, is it going to be doable for these two teams? I would think Seattle might have a little better position as far as salary cap goes in the next couple of years. The 49ers have some big deals coming up on their own roster.
I've always thought the Seattle Seahawks made the most sense of all the teams that were on Jamal Adams' list. And the fact that they are interested too, maybe makes me believe that that is something that could actually happen. I have been stating numerous times that even though I love Jamal Adams, the player, and I thought the 49ers should have drafted him number three overall, that is well documented that he was my guy in the 2017 draft. I think that was really the last chance the 49ers realistically had an opportunity to bring in Jamal Adams because of the cost, like you mentioned, both salary and moving draft picks. I don't know if that makes sense for the 49ers. I think it makes a heck of a lot more sense for the Seattle Seahawks, and they're not very good at using those first round picks anyways in Seattle, in my opinion. So why not send some of those?
Yeah, the last few first rounds have not necessarily gone as planned, at least up to this point. But John Schneider, they've traditionally had late first round picks. And so if you can deal one of those over, maybe a future second, and they've got some guys on their roster. I think Marquise Blair, a young safety, the Jets could bring him right into their lineup. And I know the Seahawks are very high on him, but Jamal Adams is one of the best safeties in football already. And he's only a little bit older than Marquise Blair. So I feel like the Seahawks have some young guys that could maybe draw some interest. And I think that they'd be more willing to give the draft capital. And I think it'd be easier for them than the 49ers to be able to afford to actually extend him as well.
Corbin, who is your source? I want to know right now. No, what I really want to say here is that if the Jets were interested in actually trading Jamal Adams, I would think that there would be a lot more leaks about this because Adam's agent would obviously have to at some point have a conversation with that team. So that's what gives me pause about how this is, you know, how far along this has gone. Because if you are putting yourself in Joe Douglas's shoes, the Jets GM, you get a phone call and you can have a conversation with the team. But until he gives the agent of Jamal Adams an opportunity to talk to one of those teams, I don't think any trade can happen. So I think it would be smart to maybe pump the brakes on this, because at this point, it seems like it couldn't be much further down the line than a team calling Joe Douglas and having that initial conversation. Do you read it the same way, Corbin?
So talking to my source, and I actually tweeted about this as well, the Jets still don't want to move Adams. That's the big key here. There are teams sniffing around that have interest, and certainly a trade could happen down the line. But everything that I've been told indicates that the Jets, unless they're just blown away by an offer, they're not going to be making any type of deal here. And since he's got 2 years left under contract, they picked up his fifth-year option. That's going to make it a little bit trickier for teams that are trying to make a deal. That being said, I think that Douglas also is going to go into this with an open mind, because they do have some good young pieces elsewhere on the roster, and they've got a really good young quarterback they like. They've got a couple other safeties. They just drafted one this last draft. So they might feel, if there's no solution to this, that, you know what, if we can get the right deal, we can make a move. So I think it's kind of like Jalen Ramsey last year with the Jaguars getting dealt to the Rams. You know, that trade ended up happening in the middle of the season. I don't know that we'll necessarily see a repeat of that, but right now I think it's definitely plausible the Jets could talk themselves into making a deal if the right offer is given to them. But as of right now, it doesn't sound like they're very keen on the idea of trading a 24-year-old safety that was an all-pro last year.
Yeah, and they shouldn't be. We got to bring Bo and Brad back in on this conversation. I want to ask this question, though, really quick. Let's say Jamal Adams, and that could really shift the power, because he's such a special player that could shift the power in the NFC West. Corbin, would, and we're nominating defensive players, who the best defensive players are in the NFC West here per team. Corbin, would Jamal Adams, if he was traded to the Seahawks, be your nomination?
I'm going to say right now, no. And, you know, I'll throw out my name here in a bit, but I think he would automatically be one of their three best players. But even though this defense struggled last year, they've got a couple other really, really good defensive players. Bobby Wagner might have a thing to say about that. They got another safety on their roster that played really well after they traded for him last year. So Adams would certainly be one of their best players, but I don't know if he comes in right away and he's instantly your best. That doesn't mean you don't make the deal. He's a game-changing defender that can move all over the place. You can play him up near the line of scrimmage. He can play both safety positions. He's athletic enough to play deep center field if you want. But I don't know if I'd hesitate. I'd put the brakes on a little bit about him being the best defensive player on day one if they traded for him.
Yeah, I feel the same way. He would be a huge piece if he was added to the 49ers roster, but would not be my nomination here today. Let's get into those nominations for the 49ers, the Cardinals, the Rams, and the Seahawks. Best defensive player in the NFC West next.
Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate, and all the parts are available for your vehicle. Choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "locked in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Bo, Brad, let's hear from you gentlemen here about the best players on the Rams and the Cardinals, respectively. Bo, since this topic was your idea, let's start in Arizona and the Cardinals. And there's a number of players I could see you nominating. My question to you, is it going to be one of those youngsters that is an up-and-comer, or is it going to be one of the stalwarts, one of the names that everybody's very familiar with that's played at a high level for a long time in the NFL?
Yeah, we're going to go with one of those guys that has been playing at a high level and almost has gotten disrespected over the last couple of years just because he doesn't get the notoriety that I believe he deserves. I mean, I'm not talking about Patrick Peterson. He made 8 straight Pro Bowls, and you kind of, I think we're talking about him a little bit generally there. He's a guy that made 8 Pro Bowls before he was suspended last season for 6 games and had to knock the rust off. I'm talking about Chandler Jones. I mean, as a whole, the Cardinals were an absolute dumpster fire as a team defensively last year, right? I mean, they couldn't stop a nosebleed, last in giving up pass yards, near the dead last as far as points given up. So, you know, fantasy owners were streaming opposing tight ends against the Cardinals each week. It was just kind of a running joke. But amidst all that defensive ineptitude, there was a shining light. There was a player that dared to buck the trend of futility, and that was Chandler Jones, who racked up 19 sacks. He tied for the NFL lead in 8 forced fumbles. He was kind of like the Kelly Leak of the Bad News Bears for the Arizona Cardinals. He was a good player on a bad team. And, you know, for that bad defensive unit, he shined. And playing under the radar for some bad teams in the desert the last, what, 4 seasons, Jones has quietly gotten to the quarterback in NFL 60 times over the past 4 seasons. Just absurd numbers and consistency getting to the quarterback each and every year for Chandler Jones. And, you know, he might not put as much... Here's a guy that absolutely, when I talk about the disrespect, he was left off the entire list. I don't know if you put too much stock in this list, but the top 100 in 2019, he was left off.
Wow.
And absolutely absurd. It looks like he's probably going to be in the top, you know, 10, top 15 in 2020. But he put the league on notice last season, just finishing a half sack behind the Bucs, Shaq Barrett for the sack crown. And, you know, the production opposite Chandler Jones is just, it absolutely falls off a cliff. And I think that's where, you know, defense struggles. And I think the Cardinals believe with 3 key free agent additions, plus the first round selection of Isaiah Simmons, that they can supplement this defense and maybe highlight Chandler Jones even more so in the 2020 season as he enters his year 30, you know, as a 30-year-old, he can probably likely continue that production. He's your defensive player of the year candidate in the NFC West. He's a defensive player of the year candidate in the league each and every year. I can't get away from him, you know, being my selection from the Arizona Cardinals this season. And hopefully a guy like Devon Kennard and Jordan Phillips, who they signed to a lucrative free agent deal. He's an interior defensive lineman from the Bills. 16.5 sacks between those two. Hopefully that supplements enough to the pass rush to where Chandler Jones getting to the quarterback means a little bit more than just him getting to pad his stats each and every week, because that's really what it's been. It hasn't been the impact because of how bad the rest of the defense has been.
Bo, I have to wonder if maybe Chandler Jones just doesn't have a good enough PR guy, because for somebody who's been around for so long, played at such a high level for so long, and he played with a team that gets covered as much as any team in the NFL in New England, how is Chandler Jones getting slept on as much as he has over the last few years? I mean, is it just the fact that he's in Arizona now? Because I don't get it.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I mean, unfortunately, it's kind of an indictment on the rest of the team, the rest of the defense, especially the last 2 seasons. When we talk about the Cardinals, they have 8 wins combined between 2018 and 2019. They haven't been relevant since Bruce Arians left. And, you know, Chandler Jones, unfortunately, the player rushing the passer opposite him or interior defensive lineman, when you look at Chandler Jones, here's a guy that had 13.5 sacks previous to 2019 and 2018. He had 19 sacks last year, just huge numbers. And you've got a guy, you know, opposite him, whether it was Terrell Suggs last year, he had 5.5. He ends up the season with the Chiefs. So that was your next best player getting to the quarterback. And then before that, it was about a handful of guys with 3-4 sacks. There's just not enough production. There's not enough outside Chandler Jones getting to the quarterback. Because if Chandler Jones, even if he has a great game and he's getting to the quarterback twice, 3 times, that's it. That's the rest of the team's not making plays. And then the guys in the, you know, in different levels of the defense aren't being as opportunistic as far as, you know, forcing turnovers, whether it's fumbles or whether it's interceptions. It's just, they're really kind of empty stats at the end of the day. And that's not an indictment on Chandler Jones. I think that's an indictment on the rest of this defense.
Was there another player that you thought you might put in there instead of Chandler Jones, whether it be Patrick Peterson or maybe one of the younger players on defense, like say Buda Baker, or, you know, even the first rounder, Isaiah Simmons? What are the hopes there for those guys?
Yeah, and Isaiah Simmons is just going to be an absolute just joy to watch this year. We'll see how the Arizona Cardinals utilize this Swiss Army knife prospect coming out of Clemson. He had over 100 tackles. He had close to what over right around 10 sacks for the Tigers. He also had he had three interceptions, played all over the board. He played linebacker. He rushed the passer. He dropped into safety sometimes. We'll see. They're going to play him kind of primarily around inside linebacker his rookie year to kind of get acclimated. So I don't know if you're going to see the big time plays from him early on or the big numbers. Buda Baker's a guy who's a tackling machine, but still, I think he's got about one interception his entire career. He's not a guy that's forcing turnovers. So he's not a guy that I see really making a case for himself, putting up the gaudy stats that you want and making the impact necessary. Patrick Peterson, a guy going into his, a contract year, he's going to hit the big 3-0. He's going to be playing for a lot this year. And, I think that Patrick Peterson absolutely has the ability to do this. But last year there was a lot of rust coming off that 6-game suspension that made me kind of hesitate. And Chandler Jones just continues to do it at a consistent level. I think I would add to the disrespect in a way if I didn't say Chandler Jones is the guy. Patrick Peterson certainly capable of it. Cardinals need him to step up, though, and be the guy he was for 8 years making Pro Bowls each and every season coming out of LSU in 2011.
No, that's a great one. Chandler Jones is such a monster. And to be honest with you, I think it's going to be a tough one for the rest of us to top, although there are some very good studly defenders in the NFC West, leading me to the team that maybe has the front runner in this discussion in the Los Angeles Rams, Brad Bear Motter. Brad, I mean, is it just as easy as saying Aaron Donald's the dude and that's it? Or was there some thought about some other players on the Rams roster that you would nominate as the best defensive player in the division?
Yeah, I think I had to give it a half a second of a thought, but it is kind of interesting, hearing Bo talk about, Chandler Jones and being so underrated over there and left off the top 100 list. And I'm with him. I don't really buy into that list, but Aaron Donald being that guy for the Rams has been up there as number 1, 2, 3 in the past, however many years. So we go from a guy who is off the list to the guy that's at the top of the list. But Aaron Donald just hands down has to be the guy, right? I thought about this for half a second and looked across the board, and there's a couple of young guys coming back, and I'm really excited about John Johnson coming back off injury. Taylor Rapp had a great first year, but is he the leader of the defense? No, or that playmaker that would circle as number one. Jalen Ramsey coming over. I think maybe in a couple of years it could kind of turn and then be his team on the defense, but it's still Aaron Donald. I mean, you're talking about a guy that not only in 2019 did it as he had the highest graded defensive player PFF at 93.6. And then you focus in on the big time plays, third and fourth down, also number one in that category, 92.5, but he's also been doing it over since he walked into the league, right? I mean, coming out of Pittsburgh, coming onto the Rams here. And since 2017, first in pass rush grade, 95.4. Win rate, he's first since 2017, 22.9, as well as pressure rate, 17.1, first since 2017. He's just been dominant, and he's been dominant for a long time. You're going to have to throw two or three guys over, and I think that was the biggest problem for the Rams last year was who is going to fill in and kind of help out for that. Dante Fowler was a big piece that stepped up and had an amazing year and went and got paid because of it. Very much the same of Corey Littleton. Those guys are great in their own right, but the help of what Aaron Donald creates up at front. And now the Rams have a brand new bunch back there, and it's going to be interesting to kind of see who jumps out. We know one thing for sure. Aaron Donald, if you leave him one-on-one, he is going to burn you. He's going to get your quarterback, and he's going to be disrespectful about it. I mean, ask Russell Wilson. I mean, he doesn't just sack you. He's tossing you up the field 5 yards. He's going to go there with violence. So I think it's hands down Aaron Donald. He competes on and off the field like nobody else that we've seen. I mean, just watching some of his viral workouts as he's getting ready. The man is, I mean, a real life Hulk. Yeah, the knife set that he's doing. I mean, he's there's no limits. And some of these things, yeah, a little silly. But at the same time, anytime Aaron Donald video pops up, I'm always there to watch it about 100 times. So I think hands down, Aaron Donald. And, this list is going to be very respectful across the NFC West as far as some great talent. But just as how he changes the game as offense planning against the defense, and then how that doesn't even matter, the disrespect he has against two and three guys sometimes is just fun to watch. Even though his stats aren't crazy as far as tackles and, behind the line of scrimmage, those aren't, flying off the field. But he's had, in the past three seasons, 44 sacks. So he's consistent as far as getting to the quarterback, 20 and a half sacks the year before the previous one. So Aaron Donald, hands down, best defensive player in the NFC West. best defensive player in the NFL, in my opinion.
Who would have been that next two or three guys that after Aaron Donald, if Aaron Donald, say, wasn't on the Rams, is there somebody that was like, okay, this is a guy who could be someone that you would nominate in normal years for this award?
Yeah, in normal years, I think you also go, you know, it's Jalen Ramsey, big time name, obviously, but the production that we saw from him since he came over in that midseason trade and what the Rams were able to do on defense, minus a couple games here and there where they kind of just fell flat on their face. But he held that team, and that secondary really elevated their play as far as what he can do. And the exciting thing about coming into this year is what we've heard from new defense coordinator is really that he is not just a cornerback, that he is a DB, and they look at him as a very versatile player. So we expect to see him in a few different positions this year and kind of moved around the field. He kind of notoriously has been that man-to-man guy that you kind of just lock him up with the number one target. And I'm sure he's still going to be that, but the flexibility of what he can bring into the season, I think, as I mentioned kind of earlier, is even in a year or two, he might become that guy on this defense. Right now, it's still Aaron Donald, but Jalen Ramsey, I think, has that potential. And I'm really curious about John Johnson coming off this injury. I think really under the radar, so many great safeties in this league. But I think if he can put it all together, stay healthy, I think he's got a great opportunity, especially with a guy like Jalen Ramsey next to him and Aaron Donald up front creating pressure that John Johnson really can kind of elevate his game to become kind of this cornerstone of the defense for the Rams.
So Chandler Jones is the Arizona Cardinals nominee from Bo Brock, and Brad Bear Motter nominates Aaron Donald, two just elite players in the NFL. That's going to be tough, Corbin, for you and I to beat here. But next, 49ers and Seahawks nominations for the best defensive players in the NFC West. Bo, Brad, I want to bring you in to this both really quick before we hear from myself and Corbin about the 49ers and Seahawks best defensive players. You mentioned something really interesting there about Jalen Ramsey being not just a cornerback, but being a defensive back and sort of a defensive weapon. And we're seeing a lot more positionless football around the NFL. And we saw the Cardinals' first round pick, and Isaiah Simmons is a player who could literally do just about anything on a football field and maybe eliminate some of those positionless positions from the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, say cover running backs and cover a player like George Kittle on the 49ers inside the division. And with Corbin and I, we're talking about how the 49ers and Seahawks were two teams that have called the Jets about Jamal Adams. And I think Jamal Adams is definitely one of those types of players. And I just feel like Bo, Brad, just thinking about those things and covering the teams in the offseason, has there been a focus from the teams that you cover to be maybe a little bit more versatile on the defensive side of the ball to counter what teams are doing on offense nowadays?
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Brett Bear.
Yeah, I think the transition that the Rams have seen with Wade Phillips out, Brandon Staley in, kind of bringing over what he's learned under the Vic Fangio. I saw an interview with him where he talked about the days where they were back with the Bears and they ran five cornerbacks or five DBs over 80% of the time at a big stint during the season. So we're expecting to see a lot of, matchup football like that. And as I talked about John Johnson, the guy that did really well against the tight ends and Kittle previous to his injury in 2019, Taylor Rapp, second year player, who they moved around a lot and they had matchup versus tight ends. They had him coming down near the line of scrimmage. And then they go and draft two safeties, Jordan Fuller from Ohio State, Terrell Burgess of Utah. And those two guys integrating in with John Johnson, Jalen Ramsey, Troy Hill playing some of the best football that he's seen, Darius Williams kind of filling in near the end of the year and became one of the best coverage guys for the Rams in the last four games. So they've got a bunch of guys, and I expect this year to see a bunch of different looks thrown out, and especially as you're looking at the threatening offenses and you talked about the matchup type of football, that is what they're looking for with Brandon Staley coming in. That mindset of how Sean McVay usually breaks down a defense and tries to get creative from game to game, they want to see that on the other side of the football with Brandon Staley. So I expect them to heavily throw in different matchups, five DBs back there, rotating guys, trying to find where Jalen Ramsey at, those type of things to try to complicate it for the offense, especially in this division that has a lot of mobile quarterbacks, run heavy offenses. There's a lot to kind of play on the defense side of the ball as you're getting ready from each team.
Bo, similarly with, say, Buda Baker, you could put him by the, you could put him up on the line of scrimmage. You could put Isaiah Simmons back deep. You could obviously do the opposite. You could have him blitzing coming off the edge. Has there been a lot of talk about the way that a defense with its versatility can face some of the new offenses in the NFL and some of the mobile quarterbacks that teams will have to face too?
Absolutely. And I think it's been something that Steve Keim's been enamored with the last couple seasons, and he's missed on the draft and trying to get guys that are versatile and make an impact. And Hassan Reddick was a big swing and a miss at 13th overall a couple seasons ago in 2017. He's still on the roster, but he really hasn't found a true position. His versatility has almost been, it hasn't helped him. As far as Isaiah Simmons, I think you're going to probably see Simmons on the field, and you'll probably count the linebackers on the field, because a guy that they signed, that one of their Keim called was his top target, Devondre Campbell from the Atlanta Falcons, comes over on a deal. He's a linebacker. Of course, you've already got Jordan Hicks in the fold, and you've got an ability to put a couple guys out there that are versatile, they're big, that can stop the run, that can also maybe drop into coverage, which would help supplement a big issue that the Cardinals had last year in slowing down opposing tight ends. Guys, a position that was so huge in this division and continues to be, with Greg Olsen coming over to Seattle, George Kittle already being in place in San Francisco. Is it Higbee over there in Los Angeles? And Jared Goff loves to throw to his tight ends as well. That the Cardinals needed to fix that big void in their defense. I think that versatility is so key in doing that, especially in the modern day NFL offenses. That the defense, that kind of have a positionless player, not knowing where they're going to specifically line up each and every play, that's going to be key for the Cardinals. But you're right, guys like Buda Baker, guys like Isaiah Simmons, they're going to be so clutch in this team being able to kind of disguise what they're trying to do defensively and slow down these modern offenses that feature tight ends, that feature running backs being able to catch the ball out of the backfield. It's going to be huge for them. And guys like Jamal Adams, guys like Isaiah Simmons, guys like Jalen Ramsey being able to be as versatile as they are, it's such huge assets for teams, and them being able to produce like that is huge.
I want to put my nomination out there for the 49ers player, and then we'll hear from Corbin to finish it off with the Seattle Seahawks defender for the best NFC West defensive player. And for the 49ers, it's tough because I'm hearing names of guys that are perennial all-pro type of players, and I have the feeling we're going to hear at least a mention of another one of those from Corbin here. The player I'm going to throw out is not yet a perennial all-pro player because he's only played one season in the NFL, but Nick Bosa, I think, has quickly become not only the best defensive player on the 49ers, he, I think, is the 49ers' most valuable player, and they really got lucky with, in a lot of ways, with Jimmy Garoppolo's torn ACL in 2018, to have the opportunity to pick second overall and get a player who was plug and play and is already playing at an elite level in the NFL. Even if Nick Bosa, who is my nomination here, doesn't even get better than what we saw as a rookie, he's already at that level, at an elite level as both a run and a pass defender, as a defensive end in the NFL. And thinking about how he could get better, maybe he will be on that list of players that is a perennial all-pro player in the NFL, and I think he is on that path. And there's a number of other good players on the 49ers defense. Obviously, there's a guy who's been around for a very long time, has been one of the best cornerbacks in the league, and Richard Sherman, who's hard to pass over for this sort of a nomination. Fred Warner's one of the best young linebackers in the NFL. Such a complete player, so athletic, rangy, is good in coverage. There's a number of other really good players on the 49ers roster. They just lost a big one in DeForest Buckner, but replaced him with a first rounder in Javon Kinlaw, who there's obviously very high hopes for, and spent $17 million a year on Eric Armstead. And D Ford, part-time player because of knee issues, but is so impactful as a pass rusher. Obviously, there's a ton of talent on this 49ers defense. It was one of the best, if not the best, defense in the NFL last year, but it was led by their defensive line, and it was amazing the impact Nick Bosa has made as a rookie. If he continues on that path, we could see potentially the best defender in not only the NFC West, but in the NFL in 2020 and beyond. That's how good Nick Bosa is and how impactful he is. So Nick Bosa, the second-year player, is my nomination for the best defensive player in the NFC West from the 49ers roster. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. If DeForest Buckner is on that roster still, is he pushing Bosa for that nomination?
He's definitely pushing him, but I think I would have still put Nick Bosa there. And we actually just did an exercise last week on Locked On 49ers where we drafted the current 49ers roster, and Bosa was the number one overall pick, even ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo and ahead of George Kittle. And I think he still would have been even if DeForest Buckner was on the roster. That's how good of a rookie season Nick Bosa has. And if he can even get better than that, it's kind of scary because he doesn't even have to get any better. And it's rare that you ever say that about a rookie player in the NFL. Corbin, you can finish us off here. The Seattle Seahawks, who is your nomination for the best defensive player in the NFC West?
So you would think that this would be easy because Bobby Wagner has been a perennial all-pro, 5 first-team all-selections in 6 years, the most in franchise history. And first glance, that's who I would pick for this. But I'm actually going to surprise here with my selection, a player that only played 5 regular season games for the Seahawks last year, but he had 3 interceptions during those 5 games. One of them was a pick 6 against Jared Goff, the only offense, so to speak, that Seattle had in that loss to the Rams. I think Quandre Diggs is going to have a breakout year for the Seahawks this year. He was a really good player in Detroit in his first couple seasons in the league, and he was playing for the Lions. And so he kind of got forgotten. He was a Pro Bowl alternate in 2018. If you saw what happened to that defense when he was on the field, his first start was against the 49ers, and he had an interception in that game. And he just instantly was a game changer for them. And he's a thumper for being a small safety. That guy will come up and stick you. He's got incredible ball skills. He can force fumbles. He's played some corner before. So we talked about that versatility aspect. You can move him around the field, and he's just a playmaker. And when he came to this team, you could just see the entire defense. Obviously, Bobby Wagner is the number one leader, but you could just see that secondary. Everybody just instantly turned and they looked, what's Quandre going to tell us to do? He became the unsung leader of that secondary and allowed Bradley McDougal to play more comfortable up front. He could play up in the box. I just felt like the entire rest of the defense followed suit. He had a few injuries last year, but if he stays healthy and he plays the entire season for Seattle, this is a guy that could get you 5, 6, 7 interceptions. He's a ball hawk back there, and he's perfect for that cover 3 system that they love to run because of his instincts and his quickness. So while I was definitely going to pick Bobby Wagner, I had to think about this, and Quandre Diggs, just the impact that he had on this football team last year. When he got hurt the last 2 games, ankle injury, they reverted back to what they were early in the season. He's a game changer. Would have had him at 100%, might have had a different NFC West champion than what we did. We saw it was only a few inches from being the Seahawks in that game.
Wow. Okay. Did not see that coming. Corbin Smith's nomination for the Seahawks best player in the NFC West is safety Quandre Diggs. Let me ask you this, Corbin, because with all of the talk about Jamal Adams potentially being traded to the Seahawks, I've seen some Seahawks fan argue that maybe the Seahawks don't need a safety. And I know there's some depth there. Marquise Blair, Bradley McDougal that you mentioned, and of course, Quandre Diggs. Is Quandre Diggs that good? Is that group that good to where you would say, nah, we're good at safety. We don't even need someone as good as Jamal Adams to add to this team.
No, I think you put Quandre Diggs with Jamal Adams and you have one of the best safety duos in football. And that's no offense to Bradley McDougal. He's been a really solid starter for them. And Marquise Blair has a ton of upside. He played well in limited opportunities last year, but I don't know that his ceiling is where Jamal Adams is already at. And Adams is still not 25 years old. I would be putting Adams up in the box a lot. I think he has 12 sacks the last 3 years. You can blitz him, all kinds of different stuff you can do. You can't tell me Pete Carroll would not be fired up about having a weapon like that. And again, it's not an offense to Bradley McDougal, who I think is a very fine football player, but Adams is 5 years younger. He has the versatility to play both spots. More athletic, a thumper, can blitz. I mean, you put him with Quandre Diggs, and that's instantly one of the best safety groups. There's no question in my mind.
There you have it. The nominees for the best defensive player in the NFC West, Arizona Cardinals, pass rusher Chandler Jones, San Francisco 49ers pass rusher Nick Bosa, Aaron Donald, the monster that he is as a defensive tackle for the Los Angeles Rams, and the surprising one, Quandre Diggs, safety for the Seattle Seahawks. Find out on Friday's episode who is the winner of those 4 nominations, and we'll be back Tuesday Bo Brock of Locked On Cardinals, Brad Motter of Locked On Rams, Corbin Smith of Locked On Seahawks, and yours truly, Brian Peacock of Locked On 49ers, nominating the best offensive players as the NFC West crossovers continue this week on the Locked On Podcast Network.